Good evening, everybody. 2 Timothy. This might happen to be one of our memory verses from camp. Maybe. If we get that far. All right. Two things before I forget. Thank you again, everybody, that was able to help in some way at camp, in some form or another, whether it was paying for a camper to be able to go, or donating some time, some food, or whatever it was. We just thank you again, or just praying for us. We thank you. It was a good week at camp. The Lord, I believe, was honored. I trust he was honored. We had some fun. We got to see some people do things. Ben's just walked out the door, so I can say this. We got to see Ben do a food-eating competition for us. There was ice cream everywhere on that guy's face. Food-eating contest, for everyone that doesn't know, means you got to lick dessert clean from a bowl with no hands. You can't use any spoons or anything. And there's a lot of cheering. There's a lot of pressure on to win. Emma has to beat all the team leaders, wherever Emma's sitting. She's got the record for that still, so... Anyway, it's pretty cool. So it was a good week. I trust the Lord was still working in these kids' hearts. Pray that these kids will continue to listen to God speaking to them. I was thinking just before, if I get the story right, it's from back in World War II. The soldiers were leaving an island and they didn't have a chance to really preach. This one soldier was a Christian, and he threw a Bible off the boat back onto the island, and one of the national guys grabbed it, and years later, the missionary came to the island finally, years and years later, and they found a church already established, you know. So we just don't know where God's word and what will happen with it, you know. We've had kids come from Cairns, we've had kids come all the way from Tanum. We just don't know where God's word will go. So just keep praying for them, praying for the Lord to be working. And the other thing was, after church tonight, we got our slideshow of camp photos. So if you want to see some pretty goofy photos of your children or your leaders' children or whatever it might be, your leaders, your kids might be the leaders, hang around for that afterwards. All right, so we're in 2 Timothy chapter 1, and hopefully we'll make it down to chapter 2, which was one of our camp verses. All right, so 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. Let's read along. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Saviour Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy unto the house of... Tamara? Say it with confidence. Wheelbarrow, no. Onesiphorus, that'll do. For he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. For when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you that we can come here, Lord. And Lord, we thank you that we could praise your name tonight. Lord, we thank you that we could give testimony of what you have done and what you've been doing in our lives and in this camp this week, Lord. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that this church is a church that desires to be spreading the gospel and reaching out into the lost. And Lord, that this church has got such an outward focus, Lord, as well as it's got an inward focus and thinking and would working with each other and growing in you and encouraging each other's brethren, Lord. But Lord, I just thank you for, Lord, that you've put us here, you brought us here tonight. And Lord, I just pray that you'll bless this time and the study in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Sorry, I'm not crying. I'm just sniffling. All right. Yeah. No, I haven't got that, Tamara. I can't say this is recorded. All right. So this is actually part of our leaders' debrief tonight. So camp leaders, this is part of it, all right? But I need you, the rest of you guys in the church to jump on board with this, all right? Because it takes you, all right? Timothy here is, he's probably not that young anymore. We always refer to Timothy as a young man. This is the second book of Timothy. He's been in the ministry for a fair bit of time now. You know, he's seen a bit. He's gone through a lot, I'm just thinking of our camp helpers, especially this week. It's been a big week. You guys have been through a lot. You've done a lot. Some of you are still sore. Some of you are still having a hard time standing up. James, it's amazing what a black plastic slide. How many bumps that you'll find, and how many muscles you'll find afterwards that are very bruised and very sore. But I'm just thinking along this line is that we've been through a good week. If anything, you know, would say that this is a highlight now on our Christian calendar as such for the church. It's almost a mountaintop. But the sad thing, after a mountaintop, the devil tends to get on our shoulders, and there tends to be a valley afterwards. Now, that's part of our walk in Christ. There are going to be ups, there are going to be downs. You need to learn how to walk through them. But the fact is, it's going to be there. If it hasn't already gotten on you, if you're not already struggling with something now, I know personally that something great will happen the next day or next minute. You know, I'll be sort of upset and a bit depressed about something or other. And so I got to reading this passage here, and why is Paul encouraging Timothy at this time? Timothy's been in the ministry for a long time. You know, he's been working, he's been serving the Lord. This is the second book that Timothy gets written to him, you know, so he's been serving here, there. He's got a fair bit of experience under his belt. And yet Paul takes time. Paul notices something about his younger brother in the Lord. And he notices something, and he takes time to go and give him a word of encouragement. He stops to challenge him. All right? So challenge him, but encourage him is probably more so what I should be saying. Paul stops to encourage young Timothy in his faith and walk in the ministry of God. Paul starts this letter to Timothy, telling him, I've been praying for you. Now, I don't want to see a show of hands, but I trust that you guys have been praying for us at camp this year, this week. I know most of you have. I don't really have a doubt about that. But I guess that's the thought there. You've been praying for these. Most of you know half our leaders are under 20 or 21, you know. We've got old people, we've got young people that work in our camp. And some of these have been in the Lord for a while. Some of these have only been saved for a couple of years, and we thank the Lord for that. Did you take time to pray for them? Yep. Did I take time to pray for them? Did I put enough prayer into it? Have a look here in verse 3. Paul says to Timothy, I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Without ceasing. Now, on the flip side, we We have pastor here who's been in the ministry for a couple more years than the rest of us. About 59 or 70 or something like that. He's been around for a while. Have we been praying for him? Without ceasing. We've been praying that the Lord would encourage him, that the Lord would guide him. You know, the more you learn to work, the more that you serve the Lord in ministries with people involved. And there has to be people for it to be a ministry, all right? We're not ministering to the trees or mowing the grass. I know there are helps positions in the church, you know, we've got to maintain some things, but the idea is that we're ministering to people. The more that you minister to people, the more heartaches you end up getting. There are some burdens that come along, some things that you would like to fix for someone, but you don't get to because they're them, and that's their life, and it's their decision. So you end up carrying a bit of a burden. Paul here is encouraging Timothy. He says, I'm praying for you. I've been praying for you all along. I'm not going to stop praying for you. I'm praying for you. Pray, challenge you guys, pray for the fellow laborers and servants of God. Don't just be praying for yourself that the Lord would help you. Do that. Pray for yourself that the Lord would help you and guide you. But take time to pray for those that are around you, that the Lord would encourage them afterwards, after the mountaintop, that the Lord would help them go along. Paul then goes on to challenge Timothy. And I think this happens too. We have that mountaintop, we have a spiritual experience. We go up, and then we start getting depressed. And we start, well, nothing happened. I put a lot of effort and time into this. I was trying to calculate out how many hours go into camp for me, not including everyone else. There's a lot of hours that go into camp preparation. I didn't come to a conclusion how many hours. It's over 5. Actually 10, I counted 10 on my fingers and thumbs. But we get to, nothing happened. What a waste of time. I put that much effort into that person or that ministry for these people, and there was, to what effect? None. I can't see anything. And we get to thinking, and so we get to start drawing away from wanting to serve again because it didn't work last time, and we get depressed about it. And we see here in verse 6, and I wonder if Timothy had an occasion like this, because Paul tells him, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee. Timothy is in the ministry, he's been serving the Lord, but has he sort of gotten discouraged a bit here? Has he stopped going 100% for the Lord? Has he sort of given, you know, that it requires Paul to say, get going, mate, start working. You'll be right. Start thinking, you know, get what the Lord has called you to do. Start doing that again. Don't get discouraged here. I'm praying for you, Timothy, to get out there serving the Lord. Paul challenges Timothy and he reminds him of his faith. Did you see that in verse 5? Timothy, get going. Serve the Lord. Remember of the people that went out of their way to teach you about God. Remember your family. When I call to remembrance, verse 5, the unfeigned faith that is in thee. I can see God working in your life, Timothy, but you know where? What? There was a chain react. Well, there was there were people that God had to start working in their lives first. I see the faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother, Lewis, and in thy mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded that is in thee also. We get pretty discouraged sometimes as Christians. It pays to just stop and start thinking about our faith. Who was that person that encouraged you to believe in the Lord, that taught you the things of God's word? I know personally that my grandmother was a Salvation Army captain's daughter. Praise the Lord for that. She was, I believe, was a saved lady. And through her, that's that Christian heritage, she taught my dad. And my dad got saved. And I praise the Lord for that. And so I do get to say that I'm at least a fourth generation Christian. And I'm not saying that I'm inheriting my parents' salvation. I've got saved. Each of us, our salvation is our own. But I get to look back into my history and think of the godly influence that was there. I get to think about what other people did to serve the Lord and to challenge me to grow my faith in God, not to get discouraged. I got talking to Keith Wormsley this week at camp, and I'm not quite sure how it works. One of our campers that came up from Tanham Sands is a very far distant relation of the Wormsley somehow. And I get, they go everywhere. The Wormsley family, the clan is, you know, yeah, you can, they're up and down, they're everywhere. But it was just, it was great to see. I think he was a great-great-grandson, or a great-grandson, is either great-great or just one great, of Esther Wormsley's sister, I think that's how, or Esther Wormsley herself. So this is like the godly heritage that goes through from a faithful person that teaches their kids, that encourages their kids in the Lord, that spends the time to work with them. And it's just a like that's just a blessing to me. And I'm just looking at this thinking, Paul's encouraging Timothy. I'm praying for you, Timothy. Get busy, Timothy. Don't get discouraged, Timothy. Think of that faith that you have. Think of those other faithful Christians that have gone before you. Don't get discouraged. All right? Get going. He reminds them of his unfeigned faith. Timothy's unfeigned faith. Just let me find that verse. Where is it? Verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, the sincere faith. Sometimes as Christians, as you know, as other Christians, I'm saying it like that because I'm talking, like, we need to go out and find that other Christian. We're this Christian, they're that Christian. We need to go out and find them and just encourage them, because we can get discouraged from, and they can get discouraged in their walk. Encourage them in their faith. Is it sincere faith? Is it the true thing? Is it genuine? Paul says to Timothy, I call to remembrance that unfeigned faith that is in thee, that you learnt from your family. Praise the Lord for that. Take heart from that. Why is Paul taking time to encourage Timothy, though? Where's Paul at this time? He's in jail. He's in jail. Shouldn't it be the other way around? Shouldn't Timothy be encouraging Paul? Paul goes on, and like, guys, we've got to be careful not to just be us focused. We need to be outward focused, thinking of our brethren around us. If you're the only person on your horizon that you care about, you're going to become a very selfish, self-centered person. Christian, yes, but only self-focused. And that's not the unity of the church. That's not drawing together as a brother and sister in Christ and encouraging each other. Paul says to Timothy, well, Paul is encouraging Timothy. Paul sees Timothy getting down, getting distracted and discouraged. Paul should be the one. But he's not focusing on his problems right now. He's looking to someone else to encourage them. Paul's in house arrest. He's in jail. But I want to challenge you guys, just like Paul did, to be on the lookout for your brethren who may be struggling. Your younger brethren, your older brethren, whoever it might really be. I'm thinking specifically this year. Last year at camp, I learned a few things with having younger team leaders. We've always done a lot of push and preparation for preparing our team leaders before camp. And then camp's over, boom, done, relax. Whereas we don't really go and do much preparation for how to cope with the things that we've learnt at camp, the burdens that we've learnt to bear. I can tell you, being a counsellor to young people these days is not a pleasant thing. The things that you get to learn about what should be a godly family, what should be an upstanding person in the community, and you find out the things that they do at home and what they're like, and it's tragic and terrifying. And a lot of that, you just got to bear on your shoulders. You just got to carry that. The ministry is not that fun a thing to be in. It's not all private jets and flash cars. Not any. All right. To be a faithful servant of God, to be a faithful servant of the Lord Jesus, means that you will have to learn how to bear a burden. Paul the persecutor is now Paul the persecuted. So he was on both sides of this. He was the one that gave the burden to the Christians. He was a burden. And now he's experiencing the persecution himself. He used to go around locking people up, putting them in jail, and throwing away the keys, committing them to be executed. That was Paul's pet hobby. And now he's the one that's in jail himself. He's been in jail for years. He's familiar. If anyone is familiar with what the ministry and serving the Lord is about, it's Paul. He's seen it. He's been in it. He's been through it. Paul knows about bearing his cross. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's read from verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant in stripes, above measure in prisons, more frequent in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep, and journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. That's a pretty... That doesn't sound like a nice lifestyle, does it? That doesn't sound like a nice place to be walking and going about. And you know what? But Paul learnt to cope with that and to deal with that. And in a sense, I think we often, as in the church, we prepare ourselves for persecution is going to come one day. And we are on the lookout for that. And I wonder if sometimes we are more focused, and we are seeing it more and more these days. You know, we're seeing church liberties taken away. We're seeing different countries are struggling with the government putting in restrictions and that, or putting in or allowing things that are eventually going to have an effect on the church. I'm just thinking of the gay marriages and that. You know, eventually that's going to close down a lot of churches because they won't do or won't submit to the homosexuality. Well, close down, I trust that the church will just go underground or whatever it might be. I think of Afghanistan right now with Christians and it was Burma, wasn't it? That the Christians are being persecuted drastically to death. They're experiencing a lot more of the physical side, the physical burdens, the physicalness of the cross that they have to bear. We understand, we see that, we worry about that, we pray it will never come to us, we figure it might. We're scared for it. We hear stories of Chris and other missionaries over in these third world countries telling us about how they have been robbed on the side of the road, how they have been in perils from, in dangerous situations where people have threatened their lives. We see that happening too. And we understand that that's a burden too. And I'm not saying that that's not at all, but I do notice that in verse 28, Paul goes on to say, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. There are some burdens that a person that is serving the Lord has to bear, and it comes from inside the church. Working with people, helping people, encouraging them, learning to carry their burdens too. It's part of the ministry. It's part of serving the Lord. If you don't want to carry their burden or help them, if you want to help a person, you got to know them. You got to be with them. You got to be there to, and you're going to find out some stuff. If you don't care for them, they're not going to open up to you, and the opportunity to preach the gospel to them is going to be limited drastically if the opportunity is there at all. So you got to get to know them. You got to make that personal connection. You got to give that time. You know, that might require you doing a crazy bus run up to Ravenshill or back or whatever to be able to take some kids to church. And you now got to do without the extra hours of sleep or the afternoon off or whatever you were planning on doing. There's a burden to be, and that builds up on your body. You know, the 1 o'clock in the morning phone calls that you get from random guy saying, I want to get saved, meet me at the church. You know, that's a bit of a burden. That's not comfortable. I know a lot of people that would say, no, dude, I'll see you at 7 or I'll see you at 8. We're not getting there now. But that preacher went in, he went and gave up his time, his rest to help a brother in the Lord. That's a bit of a burden. It's not easy. A week of camp where we're running around. Team leaders are leading the teams in everything. You know, they got to be the first at lineups. They got to be the first through the obstacle courses. They're the first ones I get to throw mud at. That's a great thing for me, but, you know, it's a lot of hard work and it's a burden. Why do we do this? Because we want to spread the gospel. We want to reach out. But it's hard. Paul says it's hard. Besides those things which are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak, and I'm not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. You put your time and effort into someone, and they're struggling at a time and a point, and they come to you and they ask for some counsel, and they're struggling with it. Now you're helping, you're sympathizing with them. You've come alongside them. That weak point that they are going through, you're now struggling with them about it. You've taken a bit of their load. Paul's saying here, who is weak? I'm weak with you. I'm there for you. I'm helping you. Who is offended? And the thought there of offended is the idea of has committed the sin, has stumbled in a trespass or a sin or whatever and has fallen. And Paul's there saying, you've been hurt in this sin. The consequences are there. And now I've been burned too. You know, I've put a lot of time and effort into you. I've encouraged you. I've led you for years and years and years. And then you've gone and done this thing, and that's impacted on me too. That's a burden that people that are serving the Lord have to learn to bear and have to learn to carry with, to work with. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? Learning to cope with the draining aspects of the ministry. It pulls us down, it drags us down, we get discouraged. How do we cope with this? The weight of the ministry, weight of anything serving the Lord, we need to find the right balance on how we serve. All right? The right balance. If you can go over to Matthew 11, I'll just quickly go back to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 1 verse 8. Paul encourages Timothy, don't give up. These afflictions, these burdens that you're now bearing because you decided to give your life and serve the Lord through in ministry. You've decided to help someone else who needs help. Don't give up. Be partakers of the affliction of the gospel, endure through God's power. So 2 Timothy 1 verse 8 says, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. And we've just seen from reading in Corinthians there that there are physical persecutions that we're going to have to deal with and burdens that we're going to have to bear. But then there's also these internal ones, these spiritual ones, from working with people, helping them and encouraging them. Don't give up. Bear the burden. Take the affliction. Going down through 2 Timothy there, and we read it before, we mentioned the guys that turned away. Phygelius and Hermonius. Verse 15 says, this thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygelius and Hermogenes. That's Paul is encouraging Timothy because he's actually been in a point that Timothy's at. He understands the loneliness, the feeling deserted, when people that you were expecting to have your back have suddenly run away. He understands that. He's like, you know, everyone's left me, except for Onesiphorus. He's the only one that bothered to actually come visit me in jail. He sought me out. You know, praise the Lord that there are those people that are kind of Christian. They show godliness and kind and careness. And they go out of their way. I mean, praise the Lord for people that know how to encourage someone. And we need more of it. Take the time to be it, to do it. So where are we at? We're at Matthew chapter 11. Bearing our burden. Matthew chapter 11. And verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. How do we learn to carry our burden? You need to learn of Christ, because he knows how to carry your burden. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. All right, so I'm sort of describing to you that some of these burdens that we come across working with people, talking with people, they're not actually that light. That's how I'm describing. They're heavy. They're a heavy burden. But the Lord Jesus says here that it's a light burden. So that means that I'm carrying too much, doesn't it? I've got too much on my shoulders. Like we're thinking of a yoke of oxen here. The yoke, the wooden beam that would go across the shoulders of both oxen, harnessing them together to the plow to pull together. The Lord Jesus says, my yoke is light because he's doing his fair share of pulling. You want to get a heavy burden, then that means you got to overpull. Does that make sense? You're pulling harder than the Lord Jesus. You're going faster than he needs you to go or wants you to go or is ready. There's a time and a place for speed. There's a time and a place just to get in there and slog and just go slowly, slowly pulling that yoke together. And I can tell you that any time we step in front of God, things are going to get out of whack. We're going to fall sideways. We're going to pull away. In the ministry, you've got to learn to have that balance. Don't run before God. Don't lag behind him either. All right? If you end up pulling behind, the farmer's going to cut that oxen off and go get another one that's going to pull right. And that means that oxen is going to be put out to pasture or to the butcher that's going to cut him up for camp. And that's all that he's good for. So don't pull too light. Learn to step by step with the Lord. And you've got to do it in faith. You've got to do it trusting. And I like this picture of that he's alongside us. He hasn't run away from us. He's not so far in front that we can't see where we're going. The solid oxen, the oxen that's training, the younger oxen, he's just taking each step, one step after another, and he's teaching that ox to step with him. If you do that, the burden becomes light, all right? It's a heavy burden still. If you stop to, and if you don't commit the burden unto the Lord, and if you don't trust in him to take care of all aspects of it, you're really just working in your own strength. If you're going to work in your own strength, that's up to you. Eventually, you're going to burn out. All right. If you decide to go faster than the Lord, you're going to pull that. Basically, you're going to. If we're trying to get a, I was talking to Brother Floyd yesterday about farming things, so I should be able to say this right. But if you want to get a straight furrow, plow, furrow. What's the word? Yep. Cool. If you want to get that straight, you've got to have those oxen pulling side by side. If one starts to push, no matter what the driver's going to do, the other one's just it's going to start going every, and you're going to mess it up. It's not going to be straight. You're not going to be able to plant in it. You're not going to be able to do anything with it. It's because your oxen was trying to pull too hard, going beyond God. We've got to be careful about that. But the same is exactly the same as if we don't pull at all. We're still going to drag the work of God out of whack. It's going to be off. It's going to be crooked. It's not going to be straight. All right. I think we've covered that. That means one page is down. Let's go to page two, three. Go back to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Where are we? Paul takes this time to encourage Timothy to serve the Lord. Encourages him in the Lord. But he needs I need to hurry up. That's what I need to do. Four things. All right, let's just skip a whole lot of stuff here. Let's go to the four things. Paul tells Timothy, all right, to encourage him to stay fast and hold in the Lord and stay straight and not to lose hope and to continue on serving. He says, hold fast. Have a look down in verse 13. He says to Timothy, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me. Christian, if you're serving for the Lord and you don't want to get, you don't want to crash and burn, all right? You don't, if you want to continue serving and continue and continue and continue, hold fast. I'm thinking of the rescue helicopter, lowering the rope down to the guy in the water, all right? The guy in the water, there's not enough time for him to get a safety harness on. That guy's got to grab that rope. Now he's got to hold fast to it. He could grab it and he can let go. He's saved for a second, but then he lets go. Wow, what a shame. What a loss. Another one gone. Another servant of the Lord burning and destroyed. But if he holds fast to the rope that he can trust in, holds fast the form of sound words, holds fast to the teaching of God's words, holds fast to God, to the gospel. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. You got to keep it. Now I'm thinking of a safe. Safes are pretty cool things to have as an object lesson. If they were lighter, we'd bring them in to get Aiden to show us how cool a safe is, but they're too heavy to move, so we won't have one here. Keep it safe. Keep it secure. Keep it close to your heart. Now, there are going to be many different scenarios when talking with someone, counseling and working with someone. There's too many verses for me to just say, hey, here's a list of top five to keep in your heart. You're going to have to find that list. You're going to have to do that by praying. Lord, show me what I need so I can be prepared to serve you and to survive, to continue, to be able to hold on to the rope. Help me, Lord. So you need to find that list of verses. Keep them close to you so that you can keep that which was committed unto thee. By the Holy Ghost, it's going to take his help. All right, it is. You can't do this by yourself. Trust in the Holy Ghost for his help. So Paul tells Timothy, hold fast. He tells him in chapter 2, he says, be strong. Strengthen yourself. Be strong. We're not talking about muscles here. We're not talking about eating a whole lot of protein powder or whatever so that you bulk up. We're not talking about that. We're talking about strength of your faith. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Strengthen yourself in the assurance of God's grace. Have you experienced God's grace? Have you? Because if you have, and if that grace is yours, that means you're saved. Praise the Lord. If you can say that the grace of God is yours, God has given it to you, you've accepted it, you've received it, I should say. Praise the Lord. So you've experienced it. Now, have you stopped to think about it? What aspect of the grace of God was it that really got you, that drew you to him? All right, so if we were to describe the grace of God, we could describe it as very valuable. So we'd describe it as a gem. When most gems have got many sides to them, they take it, they cut it, and they have different sides and different aspects of that gem. You look at it this way, it looks like this. You look at it that way, it looks like that. All right, the grace of God is just the same. It has many aspects to it. It is a different-sided gem. What side caught your attention? Was it the love of God that you don't deserve? Was it the mercy of God that you don't deserve? Or the kindness of God that you don't deserve? Or the compassion of God you don't deserve? Or the long-suffering of God? And there are others, too. That's just a short list. There are different aspects of the grace of God. If you're struggling, take time to think about it. Think about the grace of God. The grace that saved you. The grace that redeemed you. The grace that you don't deserve. But the grace that God freely gave to you. If you're struggling with the burdens of serving the Lord, strengthen yourself in the grace of God, in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Verse 2, the Apostle Paul tells Timothy, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. All right, you're struggling, you're getting down. Well, don't stay in the dumps, get up and get busy. Go and commit what you're learning. Stop focusing on yourself, start focusing on someone else. Start working. Lord, I'm feeling terrible. This is my bad day. All right, I'm going to feel terrible, but I want someone else to feel better today. So what can I do to help them, serve them, and point them to the Lord? What truth from your word can I go and tell to someone else? But it really is going here and saying, commit thou to faithful men. All right, Paul's encouraging Timothy here too. To look, Timothy, you're learning how to cope in the ministry. Go teach that to someone else. Go encourage someone. Build them up. Be looking for someone who's struggling. And even though you're struggling, well, go encourage them. Both of you together can go forward for the Lord. Commit the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Preach the gospel. Verse 3, Paul goes on to tell Timothy, he says, endure hardness. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Endure. I build things, all right? The life expectancy of anything that I build has to last at least 20 years. Oh, that's a long time. No, it's not actually. When you go over to some of these other countries and they have 100-year-old buildings, 500-year-old buildings. You go over into the Middle East where they do a lot of the archaeological stuff. How do you say that word? And those things have been around for thousands of years. All right? No one expects anything that I build to last as long as the pyramids. They don't. That's the Australian standard is not like that. Josh, your house is going to fall down before the pyramids do. And it's not even built yet. I'm sorry. Talk to you, builder. It is, isn't it? All that money we put away. Look, we're talking about enduring, lasting. Endure. Last to the end. Endure means to bear with patience the hardness and the hardships and the trials and the temptations that go in the ministry. To endure the losses. To endure through the battles. To endure the fight against the oppression of the devil. It's a big fight to be in. It's a long fight to be in. The longer you're around here on earth, you'll be fighting the whole time and you'll learn how big that fight is and how long it goes for. But endure. That's a choice you've got to make. That's a decision you decide you have to do. Are you going to give up? Are you going to call it quits? Or are you going to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ? Well, if you're going to do it the Lord's way, you need to learn to obey the Lord Jesus. You need to learn to follow his leadership. You need to learn to trust in the captain of our salvation. That's what we've been learning about at camp all week. Learning to trust in the Lord Jesus, to follow in his footsteps, to follow his guiding. Don't give up when the going gets tough. Don't be when the going gets tough, the tough get running the other way, the tough get going. That's not what we want to be. We want to get going for the Lord, going forward for the fight. We want to continue and endure. So, I'm sorry I've gone a long time, but that sort of was the thought that came to me last night about encouraging you guys, as much as encouraging me, about serving the Lord. Don't give up. Don't get depressed. And if you're struggling with that, there's some couple thoughts here for you as to how to deal with that. All right? Devil's going to want to jump on your shoulder at any time. All right? If he's not there already, he's going to get there soon. He wants to. That's one of his favorite places to sit. Kick him off. Give him the boot. Tell him to get lost. Get going for the Lord. Don't give up. Take your encouragement in the Lord and serve him and trust in him. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for this time. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and grace to us, Lord. I pray, Lord, that this would be an encouragement and a challenge to us, Lord. Lord, we know that without you we are nothing, and we can't do anything without you, Lord. And the works that we try to do of our own are just are worth nothing. The wood, hay, and stubble, they have no value to them. It takes the Lord to be in something to be of value, Lord. Help us, Lord, as we, I know so many of us here, Lord, are challenged to serve. And Lord, we go and we work at the markets, we work at youth group, we work on church on Sunday, and we're serving, we're ministering, and Lord, we don't see anything. We feel like nothing's happening, Lord, but I just want to, Lord, we praise the Lord that you do work behind the scenes. You are doing a work places that we had no idea that you would be working. We thank you for that, Lord, and I just pray that you just encourage us, Lord, to continue going for you and to continue serving you, Lord, I pray. Thank you now for this time. Pray you'll bless us. In Jesus' name, amen.